This is Ozarks at Large. Seasonal affective disorder is not merely the winter blues. John Rubinow, associate professor of psychiatry at the University of Arkansas for Medical Sciences Northwest Arkansas campus, helps us today continue our series on health issues often related to aging, though SAD is a condition that can be experienced by people at many stages of life. He says there are a couple theories about seasonal affective disorder.
One is just that the overall decrease in the light exposure creates some changes in our circadian rhythm, which is a 24-hour cycle that we go through every day that relates to our probably body temperature and sleep most prominently, but other functions as well. And so with less light, that seems to get off. There's another theory that it's just a phase shift. And so, you know, your cycles stay okay. They're just mismatched to when you actually go to sleep and all of that.
How does someone find out if they do have seasonal depression?
So the first thing you'd find out is that you meet the criteria for major depression. And then you'd find out that it had a pattern. You know, it has to be at least 2 years to have a pattern. And so it's that simple. So a lot of people may have something less intense, seasonality, where they notice they are more active and more likely to do things and enjoy them in the summer and more likely to kind of get cozy at home and say no to invitations in the winter.
Sure.
Get out less, all that. And that seasonal change is not the same thing, although some people theorize that even that small version of it is on a continuum with people that have a more severe form of it. But major depression involves a depressed mood or lack of interest or pleasure in things in life. One of those two elements has to be there. And then there's a smattering of other symptoms, sleep disturbance, appetite disturbance, potentially weight changes, decreased concentration, maybe some, you know, memory or other concerns that come up, change in energy level. And with seasonal affective disorder, typically people have an increased appetite, increased craving for high carbohydrate or calorie-dense foods, and sleep more. But some people who have jobs and are highly responsible may not notice they may just notice they have a harder time getting up in the morning, but that still is relative hypersomnia. So what you're describing is just depression that occurs in the wintertime.
If you might be susceptible or if you might be working with depression, can that depression that you already have become worse in the winter?
Probably. But even more telling, studies show that depression, just as an entity, if you're treating X number of people with depression, that depression is less likely to respond in the winter. And that probably means that some of your sampling has that seasonal affective component. Mm-hmm. And by a similar, token, it's just going to be true that some people get better as the spring comes and the light, you know, stays on longer, all that. And so if you get somebody into treatment right at the end of their seasonal affective disorder and you give them an antidepressant and it seems miraculous, it may not have been the antidepressant. So I think your question is on. It's just interesting how it works.
Can there be a sense of hopelessness or gloom or doom associated with this?
Yes. In fact, that's one of the symptoms of depression that I didn't mention, that sense of worthlessness.
Impending doom.
Yes.
Maybe it's not described in your mind, but
it's probably not impending doom quite the way psychiatrists think about it, because we think about that with panic attacks, acute panic attacks, that impending doom in that moment. It's more of a foreshortened future or a sense that what's the use, feeling worthless, feeling guilty, feeling hopeless, and thinking about death. I'm wondering if it's worth living, having suicidal thoughts. Those are all part of depression, major depression.
If someone suspects they have major depression or seasonal depression, what should they do?
Well, I think that the first thing you'd want to do is to see about getting professional help. And a lot of family doctors are very comfortable helping you diagnose depression, but psychiatrists are also in that business. As far as physicians go, there are non-physicians who may also be available to folks to work on things, because there are some non-medication approaches that work. If you're asking me, how would I approach this? Like, if they came to me, you kind of have to gauge where a person is at. Some people are very highly motivated to do things, and they kind of want recommendations for things to change in their lives. And that can be one thing that we do. With major depression, by the time it's gotten to that point, typically that's not going to be enough. If it is, we're all happy. Mm. But frequently you begin to look at medication. And just for the record, I don't think that medication is absolutely necessary, but it certainly can be very useful, and there's plenty of data that shows that's a great place to start your treatment. So it's the same treatment you would use for major depression of any other sort at the beginning. For me, I value psychotherapy, and I think in treating depression, that is a very important element. It's something that requires more time investment for folks and money, and we tend not to like that in our culture. We tend to want to, the medicine's enough, let's just try that. And it does work frequently, but the analogy I make is sometimes, when you have a requirement for prescription glasses, for eyewear that helps you see, it's not just getting the glasses that makes everything okay. You still have to read the right materials. You still have to comprehend and use that. And it's the same thing here. The medication may get you to the point where you can utilize that therapy better. The other element for seasonal affective disorder is light therapy. And there are a couple of different ways to approach that. The way that I'm most familiar with is the light exposure, probably for at least 30 minutes in the morning, fairly shortly after getting up. And there are lots of commercial lamps that you can use. They have diffusers and hopefully filter out the UV light, because that's not necessary for this. But it provides a very high lux stimulation. And so in the morning, you may read or do something while you're sitting still, because you have to be exposed at a certain distance. So that's a third therapy. But you asked specifically about what people can do on their own without having to seek out other things.
Well, I didn't mean to be specifically. I was just...
I'm okay with it, because I love that part of working with people. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because, I want people engaged in their care. One of the things you like about a treatment episode, if somebody leaves that treatment episode knowing what to do the next time, knowing how to better take care of themselves. And we all seem to do better when we're aware of what's going on with us and we take care of ourselves. So what are some of the things that you can do? There's evidence that exercise, activity, is good for us. And I think that's not unique to psychiatry. And I think physicians are making that recommendation a lot more. Move, get out and move.
Right.
And so 150 minutes of moderately strenuous exercise a week seems to be the magic number, that if you hit that, you get benefits, physical and mental. You can go over that and you can get more benefit, but at that point, that's kind of a magical point at which you have to work that much harder to get so much more benefit. And do it if you're motivated to, but at least get that much. Do it outside. Get exposure to the light. That is going to help you as well. A high lux lamp that we have to treat depression is about, 10,000 lux? The sun may be 50 to 100,000 during the bright light. So it's a lot more exposure. Wear sunblock. I always feel I have to say that to folks.
Even if it's January or February.
Right. Your skin is very important to you. But protect your eyes as well from the sun. But assuming that you've done that, get out in the light. And another element that you can add is doing it socially, staying active socially, interacting with other folks. And I'm assuming that you interact with folks you like and you're, having
right,
a good
right,
time.
Right.
That is so helpful. All of those things have established effects. Research has shown that they have effects on the brain that are positive to helping depression. And there are still more things that you can do. You can look at sleep hygiene maneuvers. Primary one is just maintaining a regular sleep cycle so that you have a regular bedtime and a regular wake-up time. And if you're using light therapy, that's going to be particularly important because you want to get your light therapy treatment at the same time every day if you can. You know, also not going to bed if you're not sleepy. Just acknowledge it and don't fret about it. Don't spend too much time, you know, the last couple hours before bedtime, no blue screen computers, TV, you know, all that kind of stimulation. And also not too much bright light at that point for most people. Also, no alcohol, no smoking before bedtime. And caffeine should be limited to before lunchtime. Those are the major ones. But the one I really like is, you know, get rid of your worries before you go to bed. Mm-hmm. And one of the ways to do that is to make some time for yourself to write down all the things you need to do tomorrow, including all the things you need to worry about, because it's amazing how small they seem in the morning and how big they seem at night.
One of the important things is you can get better.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think that that's important for people to remember. Our existence as human beings is so strange, you know, when we look at it, you know, if we could get outside of ourselves and say, what are you doing? We would have a lot of opportunity to say that, because when we're depressed is the very time we need to make changes. We need to do something about it. And it's the time when we don't feel like it. And so, you know, being able to gather your energy and whatever else it takes to get help is important. Talk to somebody else. Ask them, you know, if they can help you. Get some accountability with other folks to help that. But, you know, also if you're in the other position and you see somebody you think is struggling, let them know nicely that you care about mm-hmm. them and see if you can't help them. Because depression can respond to treatment. I think that there are so many different ways to approach it, you know, just as there are so many different people and different preferences. Let's go for it. Let's get it better. I love being in this business because I've gotten to meet so many people and help be a part of them feeling so much better.
John Rubinow is an associate professor of psychiatry at the University of Arkansas for Medical Sciences Northwest Arkansas campus. He came to the Carver Center for Public Radio last week to help us continue our series about health. It's a series that's in conjunction with UAMS.